Hi there, my name's Ross Crawford. I'm the editor of the Redditch Standard newspaper, and welcome to the Redditch Standard podcast. And today I'm delighted to welcome into the studio Ken Williams, who's a general manager of the Kingfisher Shopping Centre. Hello there, Ken.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
It's great to see you. And of course, on my left here, on your right, I guess,
yes,
it's Ian Hanley, our sound engineer.
Yes,
who is,
with an opinion on the news, as usual.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nice to see you, Ken.
Okay, nice to see you.
I don't know how sound those opinions would be, but still,
no.
On the show, because Ken is here to talk about the Redditch bid, the Business Improvement District. Ken, what is a bid?
Well, this was a sort of organisation, if you like, that came over from, or a method of fundraising, if you like, from America originally. And what it does is it encourages businesses to collaborate and work together in order to put together a program of activities, events, and initiatives in order to try and improve the vibrancy, diversity, and economic sort of prosperity of the place in which they trade.
So we're talking about Redditch Town Centre here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it starts off, you have to define an area. And we know at the moment the way the high streets are, and town centres in particular, that town centres are typically the sort of place of density of businesses, and those businesses wanting to work together in order to make them better places for the community.
Right. So are there examples of bids nearby?
Well, bids have been going for probably over a decade now across the UK, and they've grown in popularity as a way of delivering resources and revenue to help places do a better job for their communities, in particular for businesses to drive that. So in and around this area, Solihull locally would have a bid going on over there. In Birmingham, actually, Broad Street, I think, was one of the first bids that was created in order to, when they were developing the Broad Street area in terms of the nighttime economy. Mm-hmm. And I think now they got one or two bids, and they've been going for years. They have to be voted for in terms of by the business community. It's not imposed upon them. They have to elect to buy into the idea. Mm-hmm. By doing that, they commit then to supporting it from a resource funding point of view, but also have their voices to them what it is that money gets spent
right.
on.
So the businesses chip in a certain amount of money to make the town centre more attractive, to bring more people in.
Yeah, there was a time gone by when really, if you think about it, town centre partnerships or town centre organisations used to be sort of headed up by either the general manager of a Marks and Spencers or a Boots or a Woolworths. And often they would have a small fund that they would contribute into from their businesses as part of the sort of Christmas lights fund or something like that. But that was a very old way and outdated and unfair way of raising funds for town centre activity, because it meant that there were lots of people who got benefits from it, but they didn't actually contribute into it. A business improvement district means that we give an option for the businesses to elect and vote for it. This means that then, if it's approved, and there's a ratio that has to be achieved at the voting stage, then all the businesses within the defined area then become committed to contribute into it, and it's based on a percentage of their rateable value. So they have to pay, in the case of Redditch, 2% of the rateable value will go towards the fund. With one or two exceptions.
Okay, so how much are you hoping to raise from all this?
So for Redditch, in the defined area, the number of businesses we have, we hope to raise about £200,000, which sounds a lot of money. It isn't a lot of money.
To me.
Yeah, so, and to most individuals, it is.
Not to you, Ross, but not
to me at all.
No. We're talking about, you know, a lot of businesses, it's about a lot of businesses giving a small amount in order to make a reasonable fund that we were going to be distributing across the widest area of a town centre. So in the scale of things, it's not a massive amount of money. I was involved in the Business Improvement District in Preston as chair for that for 5 years, and that had a fund of around about £500,000, and obviously a bigger city centre location. For Redditch, it's a reasonable sum. Some of that will go into the corporate governance of the Business Improvement District, but a big chunk of it will make sure will go to things that will drive and improve vibrancy for the town.
But why should companies contribute to this? What if they decide to vote against it? You know, what's the...
Well, I mean, companies set their businesses up here in order to serve the community, and from that, they obviously will generate profits. So it's quite right that businesses should pay back into the community through this mechanism. The difference between this and, say, services that are distributed from a rates contribution means that the businesses have a voice at the table as to what that money gets spent on. It's not about delivering services or statutory services. It's about doing the things that they believe are right that will encourage the community to make use of the town centre and the high street so that their business will benefit by it, and ultimately, whether they're coffee shops, newsagents, newspapers, offices or services, that people who engage more with the town centre because of activities driven by the Business Improvement District will then recognise the businesses are here and use them and patronise those in terms of on a day-to-day basis.
Why should an estate agent or a small news agent, why should they chip in? Why should they back this big idea?
Well, again, they're here to, they've chosen to place their business in this town, and we know that with the way society is now, there are more reasons to travel further. There are more reasons to stay at home and do things in your lounge in terms of online. The vacancy rates in town centres are growing. We know that retail is contracting. The reason for people to come to town is becoming ever questionable as to why do you need to come to a town centre. So actually, the survivability or the vibrancy of any business, whether you're an estate agent, whether you're a news agent, whether you're a cafe shop, or whether you're a clothing retailer, comes to the fact that you want people to visit the town place and actually take part and feel that they can get everything they need from that place. And even if you are just walking by a shop with a brand on, that brand awareness will stay with you. You'll get to know it's there. You know, I know from my own experience that I spend a lot of money in trying to communicate to people who are not here. The people I get most success from is being able to show people who are here. So actually, once I've got them here, it's actually a much more successful business proposition.
So it's a case of bringing people in then. Obviously, the people of Redditch already know just how great Redditch Town Centre is.
Yeah.
But obviously, it could be better. What would you like to see done? I mean, how would this money be spent?
Well, first of all, what we need in Redditch is a voice. What we find is that if you are here and you live here through either the social media connections or through just word of mouth, you'll often get to know and hear about some of the things that happen. But I live here too, and actually there's a lot of times when I hear things are happening and I stumble on things. I didn't know they were happening, or that I don't know where to go and get the information from. And I think that's an issue of today's society, is that the way people pick up news, the way people filter in what's going on in their place, is there's such a wide variety now that actually it becomes ever more difficult to know what's the best way to reach out. So by encouraging people to the town, we want to also get them to encourage people and have a reputation for having a pride of the town that they talk about elsewhere, and we reach out to people beyond this place. I've lived in Chester for a while, and as a visitor attraction internationally, you know, a lot of people get to know about it through its marketing means.
It's the Romans as well.
And actually, it's been around for a long time. You know, and I'm not comparing Redditch with Chester, but I'm just saying Redditch needs a voice that it promotes itself beyond its immediate community catchment and actually starts to understand what it is famous for, what its attributes are, and how it attracts itself, and become one of the top three or four choices that people have when they have a weekend like this weekend coming up as to why they might visit there and how that compares to somewhere else that they may see as more preferential.
Yeah. What about parking charges?
Yeah,
what about that really gets on my nerves, this does.
Does it?
Yeah, well, we have to park. I mean, you were trying to encourage people to go into the town centres.
Cheaper than Birmingham.
Quiet. We have to, we're trying to encourage people to go to town centres, and we have to pay to park to go to shop.
Yeah, and
so then, let's get the laptop out then and shop at Amazon instead, shall we?
Yeah. And that's a very different experience. So if you want to do is sit on your sofa and simply interact with a screen, then perhaps you're not the social animal that you need.
But a lot of people are doing that, and I'm not saying well, I'm not saying everybody, but surely the parking, are they controlled by you?
Yeah, we have five multi-storey car parks. Mm. And those multi-storey car parks built back in the 1960s of a construction that needs maintenance and upkeep. Mm. So ultimately, that has to be financed somewhere along the line. And these are not profiteering places. These are places that we need to look after, maintain and provide a number of facilities for a number of our guests, whether they're families or disabled or whether they're people who just want to shelter from the rain. So there are places in retail destinations that provide free parking, but what you find is there's nothing free in essence. Somebody pays somewhere along the line, and that payment for the maintenance of those free parking spaces will be picked up by either, if they're local authority, then it'll be the community and the public that are paying for them. If it's a private enterprise, then it'll be passed on to tenants who are renting spaces.
Is that what happens at Maryhill? Is it?
I don't know the details of how they do it, but typically in shopping centres where a centre is free parking, then that cost of maintenance of the car park would be passed on to the tenants who are operating business in there. And therefore, whether it's through a service charge or whether it's through the rental values, that money will have been recouped by the landlord in order to fund the maintenance, upkeep and running costs of a car park. So in our case, because of the legacy of the lease agreements that are in place from way back when, we haven't got the provision and the luxury to do that. And I don't think it's the right climate right now to pass those charges back onto the business. The charges we have are very reasonable.
They are, I was going to say.
They're
very competitive. They are, yeah.
Around.
He's backtracking, though.
I'm not backtracking. I think it's disgusting that we have to pay. But it's not a bad...
Everybody lets it pay nothing for everything. Unfortunately, that's not the way of life. There's always a cost there somewhere. And it's a question of... personally, I would like to see, given some of the efforts to reduce carbon in town centres, a tariff structure that would be based on a carbon emission profile rather than say just a vehicle space, but that's quite a way in the future probably before we could get to that sort of level of knowledge.
Are we going to lose Debenhams?
I don't know is the answer to that question, because it's obviously the Debenhams.
A bit of a leap from the bid, but fair enough.
I'm sorry, very important man, you see.
But members of the public, this has been a topic of conversation amongst the community for some time, and there's a lot of speculation about it, of that brand and any number of another brands. And it's been played out in the press around the corporate position around Debenhams. And the truth is, we just don't know. Because the destiny of that business is in the hands of its shareholders, and
it's the
investors who are now dictating where that business goes. My answer to the question will be, it's down to the communities as to whether they see it of any relevance and value, that if you keep shopping there and if you keep using it for what it is you feel that you need to use it for, then that will flow through into the performance of the store, and then ultimately should have some influence around where it sits around priorities. So, just as we're a landlord, doesn't necessarily give us the insight into where the board's visions are for any particular branch. We will wait and see the outcome like everybody else.
Yeah. I think HMV is a good example, really, because, having spoken to the guys in HMV, they say the Reddit shop's doing really well.
Mm. Yeah. So an interesting case, as you say. We were, even in the second phase of administrations for HMV, we agreed a deal, if you like, with HMV to ensure that we had a sustainable store. And this is what it's about now in terms of having a partnership that means we get sustainable solutions. It's not about being adversarial in terms of a landlord and tenant position, but obviously we want to make sure there is no joy in having a building with nobody in it. Mm. We will work with the businesses to find the right level that suits them and also suits us.
Can't we have a supermarket in the centre? We used to have Tesco's, we used to have Sainsbury's, and we've got, and of course, Marks and Spencer's has gone now. So we've
and we would love exactly the same. Nobody was more disappointed than we were about losing Marks and Spencer's, and it was a great shock and surprise. Mm. And a supermarket has been on the list for some time, and even prior to the Marks and Spencer closure, we were having conversations to try and encourage them to change the mix of their particular store in order to put more emphasis on the food offer. Mm. It's not within our gift to just pick any particular brand and drop them into a shopping centre. We have to...
You could do them a good deal.
And absolutely, a good deal is always available. Mm. But then the strategies and visions for those individual businesses means that they want something particularly different and they don't want to be in town centres. And that's the concern, is that why aren't these brands feeling that there's any value to being in a town centre? Why do they feel that they want to all fight it out by being in disparate edge of town sites? And how does the planning, given that we've been operating under a town centre first policy for some years, still allow out of town developments to go on despite the challenges and issues of a town centre?
Moving on to
we need to get a councillor in here.
Moving on to the planning issues now, and I've got to admit, I agree with you totally there, Ken. But it also brings us back round to a bid, because obviously if you've got an attractive town centre which is pulling in lots of people, they're going to do their shopping in the supermarket, they're going to be going to Debenhams, they're going to be buying stuff from HMV and all the other places in Kingfisher, and also around Church Green and elsewhere in the town centre.
I think all the food that you're doing in there, there's a lot of food establishments. I mean, that surely must be bringing
people.
I mean, because it's got to be more than just shops now, isn't it?
I mean, Kingfisher opens from 7 a.m. in the morning until midnight. So this isn't just a 9-to-5 shopping centre. It has a leisure evening economy. You know, one of our busiest hours is 6 to 7 p.m. in the evening, when the gym users are coming from after work into the centre. The restaurant offer has grown. We started in 2012 at 2% of our total floor space, and we're now at just over 10%. It might seem that because they're clustered together that there are a lot of them, but people have different tastes. It's no different if you compare the quantum of different brands around food with, say, around fashion clothing or accessories, and there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever complained about having too many clothes shops in a particular genre. There are different tastes, there are different requirements, and in some respects, we're also at the hands of who are the businesses out there growing, who are succeeding, who are investing, who are the people who want to expand their brand, and how do we bring those together? I think, you know, what we have now is a good mix. I think we could always add odd niches here and there. And sometimes we have a vision about trying to do things that actually don't exist right now. And we try and put those opportunities to businesses to consider how they might evolve brands to take up opportunities that exist. But, you know, ultimately...
I thought Primark had the right idea in Birmingham when they opened last week. By putting lots of different things in the shop. You're not just going to go in there and buy some clothes.
Yeah.
You're going to go in there, you have your hair cut, you're going to have your nails done, you're going to...
And increasingly, it becomes a shopping experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes a whole... And increasingly, you're seeing that happen around...
You take the whole family, and it's a day out.
You know, Next are introducing, stationery shops and coffee shops within them as collaborations. Some of these are concessions, and therefore there are ways of actually dissipating their property costs by having other businesses take up a share of those costs. To be honest, Debenhams have been doing that model for decades. Mm. It's not new. It's just formed in a slightly different way, in a different mix.
It's for the posh people, isn't it? It's for the rich people.
Who?
Debenhams. Oh, yes, it is. It's very expensive in Debenhams. See, Primark's more me.
I don't know. I think Debenhams.
Yeah, but you're...
Yeah, I'm a high roller.
You are a high roller.
I didn't see it that way. And certainly, I guess I think it is a store for everybody. Whether you shop on the full price range or whether you shop during discount sale periods, there's probably there for something.
He's already paid £2.50 out for his car parking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You should catch the 57.
He's obviously been there a long time then.
Yeah,
because it's only one car.
It is very good.
You should catch the 57 or the 58 from Churchill Centre. Catch the bus into the town centre.
I would if they were more reliable.
Yeah. Fairly good bus service, good old diamond buses. You know, and they'll deliver you straight down at the foot of the escalator, and there you are. You've got the Kingfisher Shopping Centre and all of Church Green at your mercy. Mm. Fantastic. Okay, well, if we just wrap on on the bid. So
sure.
I gather this is, it's progressed quite far, isn't it? A date has been set for the vote, yes?
Yeah, so we are set a vote period between the 28th of June and the 25th of July. What we're going through at the moment is a series of meetings that we're calling on the businesses that are going to be affected by this to engage with us. So we have our next engagement workshop for the Business Improvement District target businesses at 8 a.m. next week. Riley's next Wednesday, I believe. We're doing a breakfast, so the gathering, just for them to come along. I'll be there. They can ask questions, they can set those challenges, they can probe more, get to know more about it. And we're being very open book, because ultimately this is businesses doing it for businesses. This is us talking business language, if you like, and saying, if they're saying, well, what's in it for me? You know, why should I pay this sum? Well, then be at the table and be a voice that says, what is it you need? What does your specific business need? What does your industry, your sector need? Whether you're an administrative office, whether you are a across-the-counter sort of food offer, whether you're a dine-in, leisure, evening economy business, or just a standard retailer, what is it you need for your business to succeed? We have some base positions to know that we need to attract more people to this town. That's the base position. Mm. How we do that and how we get them to engage with those businesses within the Business Improvement District area is where we need those other businesses to come to the party and say, what I would like to see is this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts the 28th of June.
28th of June is the voting until 25th of July.
And I guess we're in a situation now, as we've talked about with you know, shopping centres and town centres changing and evolving, people's tastes changing, that doing nothing isn't really an option.
Well, you're right. And we're simply saying this isn't like a life and death last gasp. You know, if we don't do this, everything will die. There are lots of things going on in the background at the moment that will come to fruition. And, you know, people say the high street is dead. The high street isn't dead. The high street is adapting and evolving to the different needs right now. What the Business Improvement District will do was literally amplify, inject, and actually push forward things that are already coming together through just normal e-commerce and normal business development and investment plans anyway. But it is critical because everyone else is out there doing something similar, so we should have that voice too.
That's great. Ken, thanks for coming in.
No, you're welcome.
Today, I know you're gonna hang around because we're gonna talk a little bit.
Can
about
I
you.
Just ask one more question?
Hang on a second.
I've never spoken to you before. So where do you stand on Sunday trading? Because don't you think they're a bit old fashioned now? These 10 to 4.
Yeah. Personally,
yeah,
I do. I see because I think it's about choice. People, the online shopping is, is available 24/7, yeah. 365 days a week, even on Christmas Day, and it's about choice, I guess. Ultimately, that one particular person's choice overrules another particular person's choice, and I think we have such a diverse community, such a diverse position. So, what's interesting to say is that the smaller businesses have the opportunity to trade beyond the 6 hours now. So, any shop under 3,000 square feet, it is quite legal for them to trade beyond the 6 hours. But they often use the fact that the larger anchor stores, who do have the constraint, are the footfall generators that would make it commercially viable for us. Personally, irrespective of that, I think there is an opportunity for the small businesses to collaborate together and take the lead. It was designed that way, that small businesses had a window of opportunity to own the trading time beyond the constraints of a large retailer. You know, garden centres. And if you consider garden centres now as being a developing retail destination, and they've seen the biggest retail growth over the last decade, are not constrained in the same way.
Mm.
So it doesn't seem a fair platform.
It seems very old-fashioned to me.
Well,
there you go.
I certainly think that the workers, the people, should have some time off, some rest. And why not on a Sunday? Why not on a Sunday? No, give people some downtime.
No. We don't agree with it, do we, Ken?
Well, I agree that absolutely people should have the flexibility to choose when it's right for them to work and when it's right for them to rest. So, you know, I think this whole discussion around the old-fashioned idea about what is the working hours, you know, what is a working day, is 5 days a week a standard working week, or, you know, are we in a completely different place now around what people's lifestyle requirements are and what their work commitments are and how they want to deal with work-life balance. So I think it opens a much bigger debate.
Double time for Sundays. Remember those days? Double time for Sundays. Triple time for a bank holding. Ken, thank you very much for coming in.
I know
I'm going over all grind here because you're going to stick around because I know we haven't got much time left.
But yep.
Just to run through a few news stories. Coming up in this week's paper, we've got Rachel McLean MP, who's done a little bit of a U-turn on the health issue. She, I suppose, quite rightly has been supporting the trust because and the centralisation of health services at Worcestershire Royal. Because that was the way the doctors had gone. That was their choice. It was the choice of the clinical commissioning groups of Worcestershire. And now the penny has kind of dropped that really we need more services back at the Alex. We need maternity back.
So the public was right then, all along.
Yeah, the public was right all along. Mm. That's right. I've spoken to, obviously, the opposition are... Yeah, can't believe this about turn. I've spoken to Neil Stoke, who of course stood as an independent candidate, you know, battling for the Alex. And they're saying it's about time you joined the party because this is what we've been saying all along. I don't know. This is not
because we're coming up to a general election, so we're just trying to get a bit of votes.
I don't know if we are coming up to a general election.
We've got
local elections.
Watch the news.
I do, actually, which is why I say, I don't know about a general election. A bit of brinkmanship if they're threatening one. Have you used the Alex at all?
From an A&E perspective, I have. Yes, I broke my toe about 2 years ago, and I'm just engaging with the Alex now, actually, on another issue. But, it's interesting. I think a community needs its medical support services, and we have supported Neil Stoke previously in his campaign about the Alex. So, you know, I think it's really important that people should listen to the community and appreciate the professionals. And I'm not a professional. I don't know the full details of it. But I think what people need to feel as though they've been listened to and had a good opportunity to say this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And moving swiftly on, we've got a lady here called Julie Ray, who's for her 50th birthday is cycling from Milan to Venice, which is something to do, isn't it? She's doing it for charity.
Every week we've got a cycling thing. Just because you're a cyclist, every week we've got a cycling story.
It is true that I'm a cyclist, and it is true that every week we have a cycling story.
But that's great, yeah.
This is still a remarkable task she set herself. In fact, she's doing five challenges for her 50th birthday, and they include, I haven't got them all listed here, they include doing a 100-kilometre ultra run.
Grief.
And this might surprise you, but women are experts. They are better than men at ultra running, and it's a kind of known fact. This that women,
what's ultra running?
It's running a little bit further than a marathon. You know, it's running something like 100 miles in a go.
That's just silly.
You know, she's running 100 kilometres, and it's
that just something about sustainability.
Oh, sustainability.
Sustenance just keeps going.
Keeps going. Women are they can.
A great example. I mean, you know, anybody that does anything in their time of life that is around health, well-being, and keeping fit and active has to be applauded.
You're very, both of you are very slim. You keep fit.
Well, I spend all my time running around a shopping centre.
Well, there you go.
And you're on a diet.
No, I was. It's Easter and eggs and things, you know.
I don't know.
We'll get there.
And finally, there was another climate strike for youth on Friday down at the old town hall. And the youngsters of today were out there trying to save the planet. They were trying to save the planet. They had a megaphone. In fact, they walked round Church Green.
And why could they not do that on the weekend? Why do they have to strike? We're teaching our kids to strike.
I don't think we're teaching our kids to strike. I mean, their argument is that if they don't do this, what's the point of getting an education if the planet's all going to be...
Well, do it the weekend. Why can't they strike at the weekend?
But that's what I'm saying, you see. It's that they're saying, let's take time off school, because what's the point of going to school if there's not going to be a planet?
Okay.
Yeah. Grumpy.
They probably just want some time off school, is my guess.
What do you think, Ken? Should kids take a day off school to...
As long as they go to the Kingfisher Centre, he doesn't mind.
No, I think what's great about the youth who... I mean, for me, this is about youth saying we have a voice again and that we want to have our say. I don't know the details of how they get released from school, whether that's consented or whether it's
I don't think it is.
Well, you know, I suppose there's always been a rebellious side of children, even in our youthful times, that we would rebel about organisations. But I think, again, it's a sense of if this is a community, a part of the community group that doesn't feel as though it's being heard, then are people listening to work out why, how they should have a voice and in what way should they behave in doing it. And as long as for me, it's about behaviour. And as long as they are not abusive or they're not disruptive and they can learn and understand to actually put a voice and opinion across, probably sometimes better than our politicians might be able to do, in a reasonable and rational way, and actually come together as a force and actually make a point, then fine, then I would support what they're doing.
Hang on, that
note. Not like those ones in London yesterday.
Well, you know, we're in Redditch. Thanks for coming in, Ken. All I'd say is that if you're listening to this out there in Redditch, don't forget to support your town centre and your Kingfisher Shopping Centre. Because we're on the World Wide Web now, if you're travelling to Britain or you're anywhere in the Midlands, don't forget to come to Redditch. It's a great town. Famous for its needles, famous for its fishing hooks, famous for John Bonham. We've got a John Bonham festival coming up. And of course, it's got the Kingfisher Shopping Centre, a magnificent church on Church Green. And of course, it's got the Redditch Standard as well, which can't be bad. My name is Ross Crawford. Thanks to our guest, Ken Williams.
You're welcome.
From the Kingfisher Shopping Centre, our sound engineer, Ian Hanley. We're going to pass over to Claire, who's going to give us all our entertainment news. And it's over to you, Claire.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Ross. Once again, we've got some fun things happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Redditch and Ulster Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Redditch and Ulster areas. Starting off on Friday, the 19th of April, who likes a good Easter egg hunt? Well, we've got quite a few to choose from. First of which is at the gorgeous Hanbury Hall and Gardens. This is running every day from Friday the 19th until the 22nd of April. It's 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. It's £3 to become a ranger for the day, and your dog is very welcome to join you and help you complete your Cadbury's Easter egg hunt. As long as they're kept on a lead, that is. And do remember, dogs can't eat chocolate, but they can be excellent hunters. I know, enough of the bad egg jokes, and I've said that once before, but there you go. There are also a Cadbury's Easter egg hunts happening throughout the week at Coughton Court in Ulster, also running until the 22nd, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. there. If you want more details on that, 01789 400 777, as you might need to book into that one, so do get in touch with them. There's also Easter excitement happening, they tell me, at the Forge Mill Needle Museum on Friday the 19th and also Saturday the 20th, 10 a.m. until 4 p.m, where brave families of explorers are called upon to solve clues left by the Easter Bunny. Sounds lots of fun. So hop along there and you can get all the details on their website, forgemill.org.uk. Also starting on Friday the 19th, there are Easter egg hunts at the Goo Cinema in the Kingfisher Shopping Centre every day until the 22nd. The egg hunts here will kick off 30 minutes before the afternoon screenings. So between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m, before your Peppa Pig or The Missing Link, Wonder Park and Dumbo showings, take your little kids along there for a fun Easter egg hunt there. Just look at the Kingfisher's website if you want more details on that. Then on Friday night, there's a super fun Caribbean night reggae disco happening at the Oust House in Redditch. That's going to be a great way to start the Easter weekend. Yeah, man. For more details, check out their website, theousthouse.co.uk. Moving on to Saturday the 20th of April. Now, this is fun. Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. Do I sound like a town crier? Well, it's the Heart of England's Town Criers Competition happening in Ulster on Saturday. There's going to be a procession from the Town Hall to Ulster in Ulster at 12:45, and then there's going to be the competition, which commences at about 1 o'clock, 1:15 at the Malt Mill Lane. I've always admired these guys because they're so incredible and they shout in such an authoritative manner and very loud too. But apparently this tradition goes back to like the 18th century. They were on newspapers and internet in years gone by, informing people of the town, the news and announcements. So it's going to be amazing to see them competing for the ultimate town crier title. And get yourself along to Ulster on Saturday to experience it. Also on Saturday, there is a big plant fair happening at the Bodenham at Bortham, which is starting at 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. It's free entry to that, and the website is full of all the details on planthuntersfairs.co.uk. There's also an ancient wisdom exhibition starting on Saturday at the Forge Mill Needle Museum in Redditch. This will be going on until the 28th of April. Great fun for the kids and adults alike, really educational too. You'll be able to build an aqueduct, there's an exhibition trail, and your kids will also be able to write and learn to write in hieroglyphics. Lots going on there, forgemill.org.uk for all the details on that. Then on Saturday night, another great night happening at the Aust House in Redditch. This time it's a Soul Motown night with a fantastic band called Northern Soul. I've seen these guys play a couple of times now out and about in Redditch, and they're brilliant. Always a great time at the Aust House too. You can get all the details on theausthouse.co.uk. And there's more live music happening on Saturday night at the Woodland Cottage in Redditch. The band is Fearless Scoundrels, and I haven't actually seen these guys yet perform, so if you go, let us know your review. It always helps us when we review them for next time. Then moving on to Sunday, the 21st of April. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter Sunday. After your Easter lunches and eating all those Easter eggs, get yourself out to Alan's charity quiz night. We mention it every week, but it's such a fun night. It's all happening at the Bell Inn in Aswell Bank. It starts at 9 p.m. and it's great fun. Remember, it's good to get a whole different crowd of people. You know, somebody who knows about the Kardashians and somebody else who knows about the Battle of the Somme. All areas need to be covered if you want to win. Also on Easter Sunday, it's back to the 80s at the Aust House in Redditch. Live music's happening there, and it's a free entry this time. Starts at 8 p.m. and you've got no excuse not to party the night away because you've got Monday off work. So it's going to be a great fun night there. Moving on to Tuesday, the 23rd of April, we've got another quiz night at the Bell Inn in Aswell Bank. 9 p.m. start there, and this time it's using your smartphone and it's all to do with speed. It's lots of fun. Get yourself there Tuesday night, 9 p.m. and let's see how clever and quick you are on your phone. On Wednesday, the 24th of April, we have a chance to meet our local Beat Bobbies at the Salvation Army charity shop on Evesham Road in Crabs Cross in Redditch from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. It's always nice when the community gets to chat to our local police force and ask them questions. You know, bring your kids along and get involved. They're a lovely bunch of policemen that we have here and women we have here in Redditch. Meet them and they'll be very nice to you, as long as you're not naughty, that is, obviously. And then finally, our last pick of the week is on Thursday, the 25th of April, and it's Pongo's Party for All Your Little Ones happening at the Palace Theatre. Apparently, Molly Moo, the cow, is making a mess. Sheena the sheep is in band rehearsals, and the scarecrow Sally is decorating. And it's all going on at Pongo's Party, apparently. Your kids will know what I'm talking about. I haven't got a clue, but your little ones will love it. There's lots of songs and laughter. It's a 1:30 p.m. start there, and you can get your tickets from the redditchpalacetheatre.co.uk. And that concludes our roundup of events to see you this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. And we'll help you publicise it in the paper, on our social media channels, and here on this podcast. Thanks for listening. Happy Easter.
Thanks, Claire. Well, there's loads going on this Easter in Redditch and beyond. And, well, thanks again to Ken. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to Ian. My name's Ross Crawford, editor of the Redditch Standard. We're on Church Green East. And you can contact us at... what's my email address? It is
editor@ross.crawford, is it?
I was going to go start off with editor@redditchstandard.co.uk.
Oh, you've got several, haven't you?
I've got several. Yeah. Several. Loads and loads of email addresses. Or you could get me on ross.crawford@bulletinmedia.com. And to keep up to date with all the news, we're on the website as well. We're on www.redditchstandard.co.uk. And that's us. See you next week.